Good evening. I'm going to be speaking from Hebrews chapter 12, if you want to start looking that up in your Bibles. This talk has been knocking around my head for a number of weeks, actually, although I've only sort of put it together and structured it in the last few days. And I've been really encouraged that some of the themes that I'm going to be speaking about tonight have come out in the Holiday Club and also this morning in what Steve brought to us. You know, it's always encouraging when what you're thinking of bringing, God's starting to say through other means as well. You kind of think, okay, maybe I'm not so off beam. So, running with perseverance, Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So I want to speak this evening, about two lettuces. And I don't mean lettuces, but two let-us-es. Did you spot them? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. If they appear again, it's not because I've asked for them to do so. Somebody's up there who wants to have some fun. So the first one, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. When we had the Holiday Club, Ben told the children about his success in finishing the London Marathon. Now, obviously, it would have been impossible for Ben to run the race if he'd had his legs tied up with ropes, or even if he'd tried to run it in a long, flowing robe that got tangled round his ankles. Because if you're going to go for a run, you have to have your legs free. That's pretty obvious. And so it is in the race of faith. It is impossible to run the race of faith if we hang on to sin, because sin tangles our legs and it trips us up and we land flat on our faces. But I noticed that the verse doesn't only talk about sin that so easily entangles. It first says, let us throw off everything that hinders. So to continue with the analogy of Ben running his marathon, I want you to imagine now that he's trying to do it with a 20 kilo rucksack on his back. And that actually wouldn't be impossible, but it would make it very difficult. He'd feel tired, he'd slow down, and he might be tempted to give up. How does that relate then to the race of faith? What are the things that hinder, that are not sin, but they hinder and we need to throw them off? And the answer to that question isn't obvious, because we're all individuals and we're all unique. So what hinders me isn't going to be the same thing that hinders you. But basically, the things that hinder are things that distract us, things that make us focus our energy and our attention and our time on stuff of this world rather than keeping our eyes on the heavenly glory that's to come. And the verse at this point is not talking about sinful things. The things that distract us might be legitimate in themselves. But Steve mentioned this morning. I was really encouraged that he went here when he was talking about Ecclesiastes. And he said, good things, when we turn them into God things, that's idolatry. So I've got some examples of the kind of things that can hinder. They're not going to apply to everybody. And maybe the thing that you need to throw off is not even in this list. But it's quite a long list. Daytime TV. Too many YouTube channels, following our favourite pop idol or sports hero or fashion icon on Twitter. What about keeping up with fashion, obsessing about our appearance, our weight, or our fitness level? Or it might be our career, It might be our bank balance. It might be our favourite football team. Or it might be our car, or endless home improvements, or even keeping our house spotlessly tidy. Or the list is endless. And none of those things is sinful, but neither will any of them matter when we leave this earthly life and go on to our heavenly dwelling. So these things are not of any eternal value. And if those things are weighing us down in the race of faith, we should throw them off. And what I notice, when you read through Hebrews 11, which is obviously the context to Hebrews 12, because Hebrews 12 starts with the word therefore, and when you read through the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, you notice that actually this is what they were commended for, that they put behind them the place they had come from, the place they had left, and they pressed on towards a better country, a heavenly one. And it says if they'd wanted to go back, they could have, but they didn't. They kept going forward, and that's what they were commended for, and that's what we need to do if we're going to throw off the stuff that hinders. C.S. Lewis, I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says this: we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And sometimes we become so engrossed in our mud pies that we don't realise God has something so much better for us. So that was the first, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. What about the second one? Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, this verse only became meaningful to me when I started to run in organised running events. I won't call them races, but let's call them running events. Because if I just put on my trainers and go out for a run, then I'm in charge. I decide how far I'm going to go, and I decide whether I'm going to go up the hill or whether I'm going to go to Innsworth, which is all on the flat. And if I get tired and I decide I'm going to take a shortcut and come home sooner than I was intending to, I'm not answerable to anybody, and nobody's going to know that actually I intended doing 5 miles and I only did 2. When I started going for runs that were organised, I found that was very different because somebody else had marked out the route and there were marshals who made sure that I went the way that the route was marked. So I didn't have the option of nipping across and taking a shortcut. I could have dropped out. I had that option, but then I wouldn't have got the finisher's medal.
And I'd have seen you.
And Gregory would have seen me. And that made me think, the race of faith is not one that we mark out for ourselves. We cannot choose our route. Now, you might think, well, you can choose where you live, you can choose your job, you can choose who you marry. Yes, we live in a country where we do have those freedoms. A lot of people don't even have that level of choice about their lives. But what about accidents and injuries and sickness and bereavement and financial loss and a partner being unfaithful and a kid getting hooked on drugs? All of these things, we wouldn't choose for them to happen to us, but they do. We don't invite them. But when they happen, there's only one thing we can do, and that's to keep going and keep running with perseverance. We can't take a shortcut. We can't dodge those things that happen. We just have to keep going. And we're also not in charge of the length of the race. And when I started to run further distance, now for me, a long distance is 10K. I haven't done any longer than that. So Ben is in another league. But when I... You kind of get to the stage where you think, well, if you can run 5, you can run 10. Not true. Because what I found was it's the last lap that's the hardest. It's the last mile that you're thinking, oh, come on. And that made me think about the race of faith and how we need to encourage one another to keep going right to the end. Because I think in church life, we have a tendency to put a lot into our young people and to put a lot into new believers. And that's right. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm not saying that children's work and youth work is not important, and I'm not saying discipleship courses are not important, because they are, because otherwise how does anybody know how they're going to start running? How is anybody going to learn how to run? Those things are really important. But I think we have the flip side tendency of thinking that those who've been on the road for a long time are okay now. What can go wrong when you're on the home straight? That's what we start thinking. And we forget that some of the most severe trials are the ones that affect us in the later years of our lives. And Steve touched on this morning. Frailty, failing health, bereavement, going to far too many funerals. And the last lap can be the toughest. And we need to keep on encouraging one another through that final lap. And I think the lunch club and gatherings for older people are really, really important, and they make a contribution to that. But also, as well as encouraging one another, we need to look at ourselves. Because, I mean, Linda mentioned to the children in Holiday Club that she's been running the race for 30 years. I've been running the race a bit longer than that, and there's people in this room running the race a lot longer than I have. And we can come to that point where we start to think, well, we're nearly home and dry, and we slacken off. And we just kind of lose the shine in our devotion to Jesus and our service. But this verse says we're to run with perseverance the race marked out for us all the way to the end. Now, we might not be able to spin round and round and jump up and down and send our praise to heaven, like the Holiday Club song said. And we might not have the energy to look after a class of six-year-olds in Sunday school. But that's not the only way to serve the body of Christ. It's vitally important that those of us who've been on the road longer and those who are older should be good, godly role models for those who are coming up. Sometimes teenagers find it really difficult to relate to their parents, and it's really good if there's others in the church who can be that surrogate parent or grandparent for kids who are finding it difficult at home. Sometimes in the first years of marriage, you go through a really, really rough time. And it's really good if those who've been married for longer set a good example of keeping going to those who are coming up behind. And even if we can't jump up and down, we should still keep worshipping Jesus. And there's also, we might get to the stage where we feel that we've heard everything that can ever be said about calming the storm on the lake, but it's not an excuse to stop going to church, to stop listening to the word of God. And I'm really blessed that in this church we've got retired pastors who have preached every word that could be preached about the calming of the storm, but they still come and they still sit under the word of God. And that's not a dig at Steve, because I thank God we've got a pastor who doesn't just limit himself to the well-known passages. And I said that to him this morning. It would be a really easy option just to preach on the well-known passages all the time. But Steve's taking us through Ecclesiastes, so good for him. So basically, I think what I want to say is, whatever stage of the race we're at, if we're just starting out, if we're in the middle, or if we're in the final lap, the instruction is the same. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then the next two verses, and I'm not going to explore them in any detail, I'm going to wind up with this, but the next two verses is the how-to. We run fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're instructed to consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And when we consider Jesus and what he endured, all of our trials pale into insignificance compared to what he suffered on our behalf. So when we focus on him, it helps us not to be discouraged by our own hardships. I always find the hardest bit of the run for me is when I start thinking about my legs and my breathing. And if I can think of something else, I keep running. But as soon as I start thinking, oh, I'm getting tired. So we keep our eyes on Jesus. And not only thinking to what he did for us, but looking ahead. Because when we look ahead, how do we see Jesus? At the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, preparing a place for us, waiting to welcome us into his eternal kingdom. And one day we will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The Landlubber song said, "We're keeping going on towards the prize. We're keeping going, never take our eyes off the treasure." And Jesus is the treasure. He's the goal. He's the reason we keep on running. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Amen.